There are many gifts that can be purchased in our local shops. There are others that can arrive in Amazon boxes at our doorstep. There are even more that can be handmade with paint and paste and clay. There are gifts that can be wrapped in paper and ribbons and bows, but there are also gifts that are awkward to wrap, that symbolize what you're actually giving to someone for Christmas or an anniversary or a birthday. I don't know about you, but our family has had several events or occasions that gifts would be given since we have been in this time of social distancing. We've had at least 3 birthdays, and Neil and I are about to celebrate our anniversary this week. And normally, we might take wrapping paper like this and maybe some ribbon like this, and we would wrap up a gift to give to our family members, to give to one another. But our time has been so different. We've not always been together to celebrate these events. We've had Zoom calls to celebrate together in that way. And so it made me think even more about the gifts we sometimes give that are not wrapped up, that you can't put into a box. And some of these gifts are experiences. Sometimes they are the gift of a visit together, a trip, a membership to museums, lessons to learn a language or an instrument, a sport or an artistic skill. There is the gift that people in our lives can give us to help us love something. Parents, mentors, siblings, teachers, and friends can help to foster within us a love for being in nature, or a love for reading and books, a love for music, and hopefully a love for God. What do you wrap, though? When you give this kind of gift, when you receive this kind of gift, what gets wrapped? Do you write a card that just says what the gift is, or a riddle to decipher for the one who unwraps the gift to figure out what the actual gift is, or a book that tells about what the gift is going to be, or a picture to illustrate the experience that you hope to share? As I thought about these gifts that we can't quite wrap in a box, spiritual gifts, I think, are very similar. They don't come elaborately packaged with a Hallmark card and Charleston wrap and raffia ribbons. God gives us instead a passion and a love for something and a spiritual lifetime to experience this gift, to develop it, and then to share it with others. But first, our conference mission statement, I think, has the right order when it says discover, develop, and deploy. So we might want to jump into being deployed for God, but first we have to discover and to develop our gifts. So this morning we're going to get back to that time of discovery and focus on a few spiritual gifts that we find in Scripture. The first this morning is the spiritual gift of prophecy. Prophecy is the special God-given ability to courageously declare truth, God's truth, into circumstances of confusion or resistance. People sometimes think of the word prophecy as predicting the future, but more often in the Bible it is seen as forthtelling, or telling forth the truth of God. You might think about Isaiah calling the people to justice, or John the Baptist calling people to repentance. Or perhaps if you're in our women's study, you might be thinking about Deborah that we studied this past week. Or from more recent history, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. If you have this gift of prophecy, you might find yourself gripped and sometimes burdened by a very sharp sense of right and wrong. Injustice makes you unable to stay silent. It's like you cannot stand it. You may not be a warm and fuzzy person, but declaring the truth matters more to you than being liked. You stand up to bullies. You speak up for those without a voice. Prophets are the conscience of the body of Christ, and your gift is essential for us to stay in line with God's heart, but it often comes at a cost. Now, this week, as the women studied together, we shared that sometimes you might have a friend who has this gift, and we all need that friend who is a prophet, and they might speak truth, and at first you might not want to hear it. It might upset you or offend you, but then as you continue to pray on that truth that they have spoken, you realize that it's spoken in love, and you become thankful But often Christians avoid prophets, or they even shame them rather than considering what it is they say. If this is your gift, it is hard work to be a prophet, but you don't get to choose your gift, only whether or not you will be obedient in using it. Now, the second spiritual gift this morning is the spiritual gift of mercy. If you have the gift of mercy, you may be impacted by the words of those who have the gift of prophecy. Mercy is the special ability to empathize with the pain in others so that you are moved to take action. Now, many good people and followers of Christ might feel moved when they hear of a need, and many of you work to fill needs regularly. But the spiritual gift of mercy, it takes the next step. You don't just do something or give some, but you go beyond meeting the needs of someone to give of yourself. In Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan, there's a man who is, he's beaten, he's left for dead on the side of the road, and other religious people, they walk right past him, but the Good Samaritan can't. His gift of mercy is not tied up in who he is or how much he has or what he can offer physically, although he does meet the physical needs, but he offers himself. He feels compassion. He stops. He gives, he heals, he binds up, and he takes care. He doesn't just do something, he does everything he can. He is unafraid for himself. He does not avoid touching this injured, unclean man, but he acts in mercy. If you have this gift, when you sit next to someone who's in a hospital bed, when you are present with a grieving family member, when you're talking to someone and they've gone through a difficult loss, you will find God at work in you to say words, or you'll know when to be silent, when to give a touch or a hug, or when to refrain from that. And in each of these merciful responses, you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. And you may not even fully understand how you know what is needed. In these situations, others might feel awkward, but you have a gift where God lets you know how to pour out care and comfort. This is the gift of mercy. Again, part of why you have to find and to use your spiritual gift is because when you do, God is at work in you in ways that we could not otherwise understand, and your own faith and the faith of others around you is built up in your use of your spiritual gifts. Now, the next spiritual gift this morning is the spiritual gift of knowledge. Knowledge is the special ability to discover, explore, and clarify information, truth that will build up the body of Christ and other people. If this is you, then you may be like the Apostle Paul. You love to learn. Paul was a well-educated Roman citizen who could read and write in Greek. He knew scripture and he studied under Gamaliel, who was one of the most renowned rabbis of history. He became of the elite of elite, a Pharisee. He loved to learn and to know, and he continued this after his conversion. After he heard the voice of Christ on the Damascus Road, he spent what in Scripture appears to be a quiet time of 7 to 8 years, and we think that he must have been preparing to be an apostle of Christ. Now, if you have the gift of knowledge, you too crave to figure things out. You'll be motivated or even prompted to spend times in the Spirit knowing where to look for information and continuing to learn and to study. God will give you the gift of being able to figure things out, to analyze things, to put things back on the right track, even when others around you might be confused or disoriented. This is the gift of knowledge. Now, finally this morning, the last gift I'd like to share is the spiritual gift of faith. It's interesting to watch in people's lives. It's a special ability to have a vision and to have a confidence in God's plans and direction for the future. You might know the story of the three young men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Neil shared that story with our children online on Facebook on Friday evening. And they said to the king, "Our God is able to deliver us even there in the furnace, but even if he does not deliver us, we're holding on to him no matter what." If you have the gift, the spiritual gift of faith, you have a capacity to continue to trust God when other people might just quit. When God gives you an idea or a dream about a future ministry, it's like you can already see it. When obstacles come, instead of it defeating you, it energizes you, or it gives you a calm and a peace that you cannot explain. You have the gift of faith. And if you do, when you see a mountain and you tell it to move in Jesus' name, you really do expect it to move. When some people might say, "I have to see it to believe it," a person with this gift says, "If I believe it, I know I'm going to see God make it happen." That is the gift of faith. Now, we are all called to have faith, but some of you have a special gift for confidence in how God will work in the future. Now, finally, I'd like to say, please don't forget to call a friend, a neighbor, a family member, or a Sunday school classmate if you heard his or her gift mentioned this morning. Let him or her know how you see God at work in him or her. It's very powerful to hear how others see God at work in us, and it can give us a fresh sense of calling to be about God's work. So please be sure to call your friends, call your neighbors, call your classmates. Together, we will continue to discover the gifts the Spirit has placed in our lives, and together we can better be about the work of being Christ's body in the world. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for choosing to use us as a part of your work in this world. Thank you for the blessing of being a part of your body. Open our eyes, ears, and heart to discover how you invite us into your work and how you gift us for ministry together. Thank you for your call, your empowering gifts, and your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.